Let's. But one thing we definitely have to do is we got to get through Atmana now. So let's try to finish up Atmana. So we still didn't finish. I did want to go through the kitchen, but before we go through the kitchen, there are a couple things we have to discuss. We still have to talk about how are we magdir what's called Mosef Hevel. What is a Dovra Mosef Hevel? And I want to talk a little bit about sous vide and things like that. So the Shulchan Aruch and Reish and Zayin Sif Aleph Paskins that ve'ein tom b'dovra Mosef Hevel filim liba'od yom and Sif Gimel Shulchan Aruch lists the items that are Mosef Hevel, right? So list items that are inherently hot. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now in Reish and Zayin Ches, Shulchan Aruch says, Afal pitu shemotelash asakader al gabi kirushiyesh b'gecholim imu mechusa b'begadim Afal pisha b'gadim einu mosifim evel machmas atzman mikol makom machmas eisha tachteya mosif evel v'asim. Right? Shulchan Aruch says that even if the thing that you're matvin the kedera in doesn't actually add any heat, but at the same time that you're matvin the kedera in cloth, there's a heat source underneath that is pumping heat into the pot, that's called Mosef Hevel and is asur. However, Mishmurin Sivkot Mem Gimel says that people have the practice to put a pot on an oven that is goruf on Friday and then cover it with begadim, meaning even though the pot, the oven that's goruf is still hot, so there is heat going into your pot, and you were matmin it with begadim, that's not called Mosef Hevel. The question is, why is that not called Mosef Hevel? Why is that not exactly the case of the Shulchan Aruch? So the Mishmur has two explanations that he quotes from Tosos and Daf Memches. First of all, the Yisra Atmana Bekira is only if there's a fire there, because even though it's still generating heat, there were never gozer shemayatin beremetz when there's no coal or fire that's still there. So Mosef Hevel has to be something that, at least by Akira, it has to be something that actually has the hot coals there. Or he says, no, the Kira is not Mosef Hevel on its own. And because it's not Mosef Hevel on its own, it's only Mosef Hevel because of the fire that used to be there. Every moment that passes, the Kira is getting colder and colder. So since the heat is waning, that's not going to be called Mosef Hevel. So when did the Shulchan Aruch say that if you wrap something in a cloth and you put it on a heat source, that it's a Dover Mosef Hevel? That's only if the heat source is continuous, so it continues to pump heat into the pot. But if the heat source is waning, even though there is a heat source, but it's waning because there's no continuous, presence of a fire or a coal or anything like that, or hot sand in the sun that's continuously still hot. So the heat source is just getting colder and colder every moment. So then it's not going to be Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel. In Dibros Moshe, Ramesha Feinstein, in Parak Bametomnin, Dibros Moshe has these long, long pieces, and then he has these ha'aros. He has these short ha'aros, these small paragraphs. So in Ha'ara Gimel, he writes that if you have a pot on a blech with a fire underneath, l'chora, whether that's called Dover HaMosef Hevel or not, meaning you have a cholin pot sitting on a blech, right, and there's a fire under the blech, and you wrap the cholin pot in cloth before Shabbos. So is that called Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel? So now what would you taina? So Ramesha points out, it's totally on these two shitos in Mishnah Berurah. Why is it that the Mishnah Berurah says, why is it that on Akira, on top of Akira, it's not called Atmana B'davar, Akira that's swept out of its coals, it's not called Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel. But on top of fire is Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel. So Ramesha writes, it depends, according to the first reason, that a Tanur Goruf has no Isra Atmana, because you can't be matmin in the Karkash Shel Tanur. Over here also, it's a Tanur Goruf, right? It has a blech on it. So mainly, there's no Isra Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel at a Tanur Goruf. But if you hold like the second answer, that as long as there's new heat being pumped in and the heat is not waning, then it's called Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel. So then this too is Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel. And therefore the same would be true of a hot plate also. If you hold that a hot plate, an unadjustable hot plate, you hold that it's Garuf. So in Shmir Shabbos, in Perek Aleph, footnote Kuf Tzadi Gimel, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman not to do Atmana on a blech, because he cannot rely on the first opinion in the Mishnah Berurah. Why can't you rely on the first opinion in the Mishnah Berurah? Mishnah Berurah himself wasn't even certain that we could be mekel, and even in a case where we have both opinions, he wasn't 100% that you could be mekel. Certainly when you only have one of the opinions and not the other, you can't be mekel. But ein limchos b'yada mekel. So if you see someone that does Atmana on a blech, that you can't make a macha on such a thing. Now, in contrast to that, Rav Avadia, in Yabia Omer Chalek Vav Simon Lamed Gimel, Rav Yitzchak Yosef in Yalkut Yosef, allow even fully covering pots that are sitting on the platter from before Shabbos. It's based on Ramban, who holds that as long as the pot doesn't touch the coals, then it's not considered Atmana B'Davar HaMosav Hevel. Even if the pot is covered with blankets, and even if there is heat pumping into it, because you view the blankets and the plata separately. So, in other words, the blankets are not Mosav Hevel on their own right, and therefore it's Mutter, and the plata is not even considered Atmana B'Miktsas, because it's not sitting on it, because the heat source is covered. And even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that, Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch was explicit not that way, L'chara, right? The Shulchan Aruch said that if you have something wrapped in cloth and it's sitting on a fire, that's called Atmana B'Davar HaMosav Hevel. And this is Rav Avadya talking, you know, the Divrei Maran is everything. Nevertheless, he says the minhag is to be mekel because of Kavod Shabbos, and that was the custom before the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch was universally accepted. And this Ramban, says Rav Avadya, for some reason he's very enamored with this Ramban, and he says that that was, you know, that it predates the Shulchan Aruch. Obviously the Ramban predates the Shulchan Aruch, but the practice to follow this Ramban predates the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Avadya is also mitzarif a few other shittos in order to be mekel lemaisa, and he says amachmir tovah lav bracha, but that's all it is, amachmir tovah lav bracha. Shmir Shabbos says he doesn't understand what Rav Avadya is talking about. All of a sudden you're going to ignore Maran because there's a Ramban that says otherwise. The Maran saw the Ramban, Shulchan Mechaber saw the Ramban, and he rejected the Ramban. He doesn't pass like that Ramban, but nevertheless that's what Rav Avadya does with the claim that this is an old minhag that predates the Shulchan Aruch. Just one more point quickly. It would seem obvious that if you have a hot water urn, and they used to sell, maybe they still do, these covers that go around the hot water urn, like these, it's like a suit for that one, and it zips up around the hot water urn, so it really holds in all of the heat really well. It would seem that that is for sure a Davar HaMosav Hevel, right, according to the Mechaber. Not according to that Ramban, maybe, but according to the Mechaber and according to the Mishnah Brura, that would be Mosav Hevel. However, in Shevet Alevi Chelek Hei Siman Lamed, Rav Vazir is Mechadesh, that if there's a thermostat on the urn, and the coils shut off once the water reaches a certain temperature, then you can insulate, because it will never make the water any hotter. It only keeps the water at the desired temperature for longer. Davar HaMosav Hevel means that the pot's going to get hotter than it otherwise would have gotten because of the Hatmana. But over here, it's never going to get it. There's an automatic shut-off. It hits before it hits boiling, so that it doesn't lose all of its water. Before it hits boiling, coils turn off, and it goes into maintain mode. It will maintain that heat for longer before it has to turn on again, but it's never going to get hotter than it should have been. So if Simcha ben Mekon in footnote 13 very strongly disagrees with this Rav Vazner, because we never heard that water heated to 212 degrees is no longer subject to Hatmana, since it can't get any hotter than it already is, right? Meaning that's just a metzius, right? Meaning by that same token, if you had water that reached a boiling point, there would be no Isra of Hatmana, because it can't get hotter than that. Water just doesn't get hotter. It just evaporates. Water can't get hotter than that. It's basic physics. Water can't get hotter than 212 degrees. So whoever, did you ever find anywhere that water past the boiling point is not subject to Atmana? It is subject to Atmana. B'davar HaMosav Hevel. So therefore, Simcha ben Mekon rejects this kula of Rav Vazner. I heard from Rav Willig several times that, you know, those urn covers, they used to advertise, they would sell them with embroidered with the words, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, and Rav Willig used to say it should say L'chilul Shabbos Kodesh, because that's what it is. It's Chilul Shabbos Kodesh by with Hatmana B'Davar HaMosav Hevel before Shabbos.
Is not open on those things?
I don't think so.
But if it would be, it would be okay.
If it would be, it would be okay. At least, you know. Sephardi Ashkenazi, and which Ashkenazi post you hold, like, you know, or if Rabbi Yashiv, you need the top third. Or, yeah, but I mean, but by the same token, something once something's 212 degrees, like what, you're not going to want it to get any hotter.
If there's no heat source.
What?
If there's no heat source.
If there's no heat source, no. If there is a heat source. Yeah, yeah, but there is a coil that until it shuts off, there's a coil there. So, what's the Shevet Alevi Svara? Let's say, what's the Shevet Alevi Svara? Shevet Alevi Svara is that the whole idea, the definition of Hatmana B'Davar HaMosav Hevel is that you can make the water hotter on account of the fact that you're matmid it, hotter than it would have been just from the coil itself, right? And over here, it's never going to get hotter than it would have been from the coil itself, because the coil will stay until it hits a target temperature, which is way less than 212, but until it hits a target temperature, and even with the Atmana, once it hits a target temperature, it's going to turn off, right? So when you have something at 212 degrees, it can't get any hotter. So by the same token, if you're going to say that Hatmana B'davar Mosef Hevel means that through the Hatmana you're going to make it hotter than it otherwise would have gotten, so when you have something that's already 212 degrees, it should not be subject to Hatmana. But no one ever says that. So it's really just the absence of a Shita that he, you know, we don't find anywhere that says that.
I'm just not chabbing. How can we say that the Everyone decided that we're not passing like the
Shechanar
before the Shechanar put it down in writing. What does that even mean?
Yeah, Rav Shechter likes to say that about the Yekis, right? He always says that the Yekis will tell you that their minhagim predate Matan Torah, so we don't even have to listen to the Torah, because if it's a Yeki minhag, then it's I think he's joking about that. But at least that, you know, that it predates the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you can have minhagim that predate
the
Shulchan
Aruch.
Okay, Shulchan Aruch held that way. I don't know. Okay, I don't know why Rav Vadia chose this place to not be loyal to Moran. I don't know what the svar is. As far as Dover Sheinu Mosef Hevel, Shulchan Aruch and Reish Zayin Aleph says he can rap on Erev Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself, as we know. But there are a few cases that you are allowed to rap something in Dover Sheinu Mosef Hevel on Shabbos. Safik Chashecha in Reish Zayin Aleph. You know, but that becomes largely irrelevant. You might think Safik Hashecha, wow, that's very helpful. So if it's Ben Hashmashu, so I'm going to be able to still do Hatmana B'davar Sheinu Mosef Hevel, because Rav Moshe writes in Chilek Dalet, Siminayin Dalet, Hatmana Os Aleph, De'ein Zeh Nogei L'dina B'zmaneinu, Ki Anashim Ha'oskos Pa'atmana Mekablin Shabbos Pa'adokas Haneros, V'achar Kabbalah Shabbos, Mefurish B'zim Reish Samachal of Siv Dalet, De'ein Tomnin. Once you have Kabbalah Shabbos, forget it, all bets are off. So then it's not Safik Hashecha anymore, and then it's Vade Shabbos once you have Kabbalah Shabbos, and all the women were Mekablin Shabbos when they lit candles. And men, hopefully, are Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia also. So by the time you get to Savich HaShecha, they already had a Kabbalah Shabbos. V'mizdamin ish, shelo kibbal Shabbos, v'lo amar mizmer shili yom HaShabbos, mutalad min ha-chatz yishal l'achar HaShkia, kibbiyusid rabbein yishal k'kshid rabbein tam. Then Rav Moshe says, okay, but in the rare case where this could come up, you're talking about a man who didn't light Neros, and also didn't say mizmer shili yom HaShabbos yet, so it was not Mekabel Shabbos, so within a half hour of Shkia, he could do Atmana. Why a half hour of Shkia? Isn't that Vadei Laila according to the Gra? Yeah, according to the Gra, that's Vadei Laila, but we could be making like Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, that's still Savich HaShecha when it comes to this. But Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, Savich HaShecha lasts until 30 minutes after Shkia in New York, right, according to Rav Moshe, which is pretty amazing. Meaning, when Rav Moshe, everyone always talks about Rav Moshe's 50 minutes, that 50 minutes after Shkia, Shabbos is over. People don't realize that's Rav Moshe's Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Moshe holds he's supposed to be machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. His 50 minutes after Shkia is Rabbeinu Tam's man for when Shabbos is over. So you know, we often think of Rabbeinu Tam as 72 minutes. Yeah, for certain places in the world it has to be adjusted. Rav Soloveitchik had a lot of chumras on those 72. He kept 120 minutes in Boston. But Rav Moshe's shita was 50 minutes for Rabbeinu Tam. And then if you adjust it based on the season of the year and based on how far you are from the solstice and the equinox, so then could get as little as 39 minutes after Shkia for Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rav Moshe. People used to get upset at me in my shul that we followed Rav Moshe adjusted. We took Rav Moshe's shita and adjusted it based on my zman, and how, you know, based on Rabbi Belsky, how to adjust it based on the season of the year. Because obviously, the definition of Tzitzit Chavim should not be based on X number of minutes, right? It's obviously about darkness. It should be obvious, although it's not obvious to everybody, and there are big gedolim that say not that way. But it seems obvious that people used to not tell time by looking down. They tell time by looking up, right? They look at the sky and they see how dark it is. So it gets darker quicker at certain times of the year. So the first time Rav Shechter came for a Shabbos, we had a Q&A with him, and I planted a question in there. The question was, we keep Shabbos until... So people were complaining, how can we end Shabbos 39 minutes after Shkia sometimes? It's crazy, it's so early. So not so many people were complaining, but some people. So I planted a question there for Rav Shechter. We keep Shabbos 50 minutes adjusted, and sometimes gets as early as 39 or 40 minutes after Shkia. What does Rebbe think about that? And he said, wow, what a beautiful chumrah. So that was, we were good after that.
Yeah.
What?
No?
Yeah, I'm saying we're keeping Rabbeinu Tam. So we're keeping our Moshe's Rabbeinu Tam. What a beautiful chumrah. Okay. If something was insulated before Shabbos, another exception, Reishon and Dalet Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says you could put back the insulation. You unwrapped it to take some food out, you can rewrap it again with Davashen Mosef Hevel on Shabbos. Also, if it's already insulated, Shulchan Aruch says you could add more insulation. I mean, you could add an extra layer of insulation on Shabbos, even though it's Hatman B'Davashen Mosef Hevel, because it's already insulated. Also, in Reishon and Zayin Sif Hei, Shulchan Aruch says once food is in a klisheni, so that we already discussed, right? So then you can insulate with the davar she'eino mosif hevel, but not with the davar hamosif hevel. And then the Mishnah Berurah Simkon Chavches says that v'afilu b'kli rishon, if it's niskara ad she'eino yatzaledes bo near the shari, it also seems that that would be kamke near the shari latmino umu b'makom atzarech. That if there's a need, you could be matmin then that also, if it's below Yatzeledes. So a lot of exceptions to this rule that it's usher to be matmin with Davar She'eino Mosef Hevel on Shabbos. So that's just a collection of the exceptions. Let's get practical now. Wrapping challah in aluminum foil. So is that a violation of hatmana? Meaning you want to put the challah on the, you want to have warm challah. A lot of people enjoy having warm challah, so you want to put the challah on the blech, or you want to put the challah on the hot plate or something, and you know it's already fully baked, so you're not going to have an afia problem. So can you wrap it in aluminum foil and you put it on the black? So Shulchan Aruch Tzif Beis tells us what? Let's say on Erev Shabbos even, because it's is that Hatmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos, but let's say even Erev Shabbos, right? So you have no bishul problem at all. It's only an issue of Hatmana. So Shulchan Aruch Tzif Beis, he says based on the Ran that Hatmana is only usher if your intention in wrapping it is to retain the heat in the food. But if you're insulating the pot in order to protect it from mice, let's say, that was the more common problem, I guess, here in the Heights, that might be an issue also. So then that is mutter. And therefore, if Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that you're allowed to wrap your challah in aluminum foil and put it in on the plata, even on Shabbos. Forget about before Shabbos, even on Shabbos, because it's not hatmana. Your kavanah is not to insulate the challah, it's just to not make crumbs all over the hot plate. And it seems from the Shmir Shabbos that if your intention in wrapping it is to heat up the challah more efficiently, then Rosh Hashanah would agree that it's aser. Meaning if you're really just wrapping it in order, that was the Rabbi Sablovsky story I told you yesterday, where he said to his wife, why is the challah wrapped? And you know, she wanted to know what the right answer was. So the right, if her answer would have been, oh, because it will warm up quicker when it's wrapped, then he would have said, that's hatmana, that's no good, right? But if her answer is, who puts challah plain just like that on the hot plate? It's going to make crumbs, it's going to be dirty, the hot plate's dirty, it's going to mess up the challah, something like that, some other intention, then it's going to be mutter. Let me just get through. Ramesha in Aruch Chaim Chayil Dal Seminayin Dal Hatmana Uz Gimel disagrees with Rosh Hashanah Zalman and says that of course you intend to heat up the challah more efficiently. Wrapping it with foil is Hatmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel, and that's also even before Shabbos. So the best option is to keep part of your challah exposed. Because even Ramosha would allow in such a case, as long as part of it is exposed, then it's not hatmana at all. How much of the challah do you need to expose? So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Shvos Yitzchak that there needs to be a chashva amount of it that's exposed. But again, go back to those same discussions. It's not a pot now because it's a challah. So, you know, but at just the top or along the sides also, some reasonable amount of it is exposed. The Rav Zalman Chemi, Zecharon Levracha, explained that the difference between this case of heating up challah by completely wrapping it, which everyone would say it's usher if you're doing it for the purpose of insulation, and heating up food that's in an aluminum pan or in a pot, which is not considered hatmana, is that hatmana is defined as adding an extra covering to the normal manner of heating something. So putting food in a pot or an aluminum pan is never considered hatmana ever, because it's the normal way to store food and heat food. It's just that's the way the food has to go somewhere. But if you insulate the pot or the pan with towels from the outside, that's the extra layer, that's hatmana. But if you fully wrap food that's not usually wrapped, just for the purpose of maintaining its heat, that's hatmana, because the wrapping itself is extra. So completely wrapping a hot challah in towels in order to retain its heat would be hatmana. And then Rav Zalman Nechemia added that putting challah wrapped in foil into an oven or warming drawer, even when there are no issues of chazara, is mutter, because in any case the challah gets heated from all sides and your intention of covering the challah is just so it doesn't dry out. But putting foil all around the challah and putting it on the plata, where your intention is that the foil will heat up your entire challah evenly, is asur, which is an interesting svara. Right? What's he's being mechalik between a flat surface that has heat coming from the bottom and putting it in something where heat's coming from all sides. Because if you were to take a challah without the foil and put it in the oven, it would heat evenly anyway. That's the way ovens are made. They're made to heat from all directions, that the whole cavity of the oven is filled with heat. So what's your purpose in putting the foil around it? That's just for cleanliness. But when you're putting something on a plateau, or you're putting something on a blech, so it heats only from the bottom. So the bottom's going to get toasty, and the top could still be frozen. The top might not be cold at all. So the best way to most evenly distribute the heat is take a conductor of heat, like foil, and wrap the entire challah so that as soon as the foil gets hot, all the foil will get hot, and now heat will come in from all directions. That's called hatmana with kavana to be matmin. That's Rav Zalman Nechemia's svara. You like it? Don't like it? Don't like it?
No, I just, what was Rav Moshe and Rav Zalman Nechemia's reason for disagreeing with Rav Shlomo Zalman's point that no one just puts it on? You're obviously also doing it for cleanliness.
Yeah, I guess Rav Moshe didn't think that was true. Yeah, Rav Moshe thought that no, when you wrap it in foil, you wrap it with the intention of the foil getting hot.
Like, what else would I put in it?
You just put it straight on, or put it on a sheet pan or something like that. Yeah. So the fact that why do you have to wrap it? So you have to wrap it. I mean, the truth is, you probably wrap it in foil because in general you don't leave challah out because it will dry up, it will get stale. Right, you always wrap it in something. Elamai, you can't wrap it in plastic right now because it's going to melt. So you wrap it in foil. That's what I would have thought, like Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know. I didn't think that. I remember when my sister came home from Michlala. I'm not going to reveal which sister. All three of them went to Michlala. We're very miyuchas like that. So when my sister came home from Michlala, she was very upset at my parents that they had challah that was warm. And they put a challah cover over it. And I'm like, you Amharetz. like, there's nothing as dangerous as a little bit of knowledge, right? A challah cover is not hatmana. Why is a challah cover not hatmana? Most pashut. First of all, it doesn't touch along the sides. Second of all, it's obviously not kavanah lahatmin. You don't put the challah cover on it in order to maintain the warmth. You put the challah cover on it because there's a halacha or a minhag or whatever, depending on which shita, depending on what stage to put a challah cover on, and because you have a beautiful challah cover, and that's how a Shabbos table looks, where it says Shabbos Kodesh on the challah cover or something like that. It's not that has nothing to do with hatmana. So that's a silly chumrah. It's not even a chumrah; it's just silly. Yeah.
What's the difference between the Rav Moshe we said yesterday by Caleb and here? You say by the kli that you can put the top on, because as long as you have some other intention besides for heating up,
right,
then it's fine.
So Rav Moshe is saying there is no other intention over
there's
here.
There's zero other intention.
Yeah, why would you wrap the tinfoil over the top? You're only doing that because you want the heat to distribute evenly. Again, I happen to not hear it so much because I think it's a Metzius question. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is correct in the Metzius. But that's his argument. Defend Zayda, yeah.
I'm just asking why we're getting a
it's a Messiah's question, yeah.
They agree fundamentally. So.
I mean, but if someone were to ask each of them, can you wrap challah in foil? What's the halacha? So they're working with different assumptions about what people's intentions are.
The answer is
depends on your intention, but they work with different assumptions of what your intentions are. Like if you say my intention is for cleanliness, Rav Moshe would say, no, please, that's not your intention. I mean, he wouldn't say it like that. But
I thought Rav Moshe was saying we can rely on intentions are you sure Moshe will say that tinfoil case my pot is called the yuchah b'kach? But that was his whole hat there. Only in a case where the pot.
Yeah, Rav Moshe's machmir by the.
No, but I thought, no, with the pot, he said that the reason why it's okay when you can cover it is.
Right.
I mean,
right, that's why he's machmir by the challah.
Yes, but their metzius is not whether it's. You're saying the machlokes is whether your intention is for cleanliness. It's not. I thought the machlokes would just be is it tenfold called miyuchah l'kach?
No, because what's miyuchah l'kach based on? It's based on whether you're having kavanah lahatmin. Meaning that when something is made as the pot for that food, so then the kavanah is not lahatmin. The kavanah is just to contain the food, like you're supposed to contain food in a pot. And then it just becomes like an aluminum pan. Or anything, any pot. But that miyuchah l'kach, I don't think is a svar in its own right. I think it's just based on that's megala on whether it's kavanah lahatmin or not. There is a major discussion, I do want to get to this, about submerging food in another food. You could certainly have carrots submerged in your chicken soup, right? And that's not Hatzmana B'davar Ramos. The carrot is surrounded by chicken soup, and the chicken soup is all hot, so isn't it Hatzmana B'davar Ramos? No, it's part of the chicken soup. You know, you can have potatoes in your chalent. It's part of the dish. It's getting flavor from the surrounding food. But if you wrap a food in foil, and then submerge that food in your chalent pot, that might be Hatmana. The Gemara in Shabbos Avmem tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Pamachas, Nichnasti Achar Rabbi Lebeis HaMerchatz, Ubikashti Laniach Lo Pach Shal Shem Bambati. V'amrili Tol B'Klisheni V'Tein, and he said, no, if you want to put the oil in the tub of hot water, it needs to go in a Klisheni. Shema mina tzlat, Shema mina shemini yeshu mishim bishul, Shema mina klisheni enam vashel, Shema mina avsheru zeu bishulo. You could put a bottle of oil inside a pot filled with hot water on Shabbos, as long as the hot water is a klisheni. And that's not considered hatmana, apparently. Apparently we weren't worried about hatmana in such a case. So the Rishonim explained that the Gemara is talking about a case where the bottle of oil isn't fully submerged in the hot water, but if it were fully submerged in the water, then it would be considered hatmana. B'davar, sheinu mosif hevel, perhaps, or mosif hevel, depending on the situation. So fully insulating with items that do not emit heat would be hatmana b'davar sheinu mosif hevel in such a case, and is no different than the issue of completely insulating a pot with towels on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah Brura quotes a Taz. Mishnah Brura quotes a Taz in Rishon Ches Aleph. Mishnah Brura in Rishon Ches Beis quotes a Taz in Rishon Ches Aleph that you're not allowed to take a kli which has a cold liquid and submerge it in a kli that has hot water. And if you want to heat up a baby's bottle on Shabbos, you could pour hot water into a big cup and then put the bottle inside that water, but some of the bottle has to be raised above the water level. But if the bottle is fully submerged in the water, then it's going to be asur mishum hatman, right? Then you're going to have an issue. It's the same case of the Gemara, the way the Rishonim understand it. And the Mishmur adds that if the temperature of the liquid inside the baby bottle is going to reach Yatzal Ledes, then you're going to have a problem of Bishul also. But at the very least, you're going to have a problem of hatmana. Chazan Ish, in Simon Lamed Zayin Sifkot Lamed Beis, strongly disagrees with this Mishnah Brura. And he learns the whole Gemara differently, and he says, if you have a kli, the reason why the Gemara is not worried about Hatmana is because whenever you have a kli that's going into another kli that's filled with food, even though it's going to be totally submerged, fully submerged, it's not going to be a violation of Hatmana. Chazanish says, Yesod, kli betoch kli is not a violation of Hatmana. So if I have a baby bottle that I'm fully submerging in hot water, in very hot water, in a klisheni, that is not going to be a violation of hatmana. That's the chazanish. Now the chazanish's raya is that the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Gimel Shulchan Aruch says you could submerge a kiton shalmayim into a klisheni that has hot water, just not into a kli rishon because of bishul, but into a klisheni you can submerge a kiton shalmayim, says the Shulchan Aruch. Right? So the Chazanish says, don't you see? It's talking about submerging a keton shel mayim in boiling hot, in a klisheni that has boiling hot water. So you're doing atmana. Elamai, it's a kli inside of another kli. What's the Mishnah Brura going to answer you? The Mishnah Brura is going to answer you, no, that must be talking about a case where it's partially submerged. Says Chazanish, I don't buy it for a second. It's the Mechaber. It's not the Rama. The Mechaber holds partial Atmana is also Atmana. So I don't care that it's not fully submerged. The Mechaber would hold that even when it's something sitting on remnants, it's going to be Atmana. So it doesn't, I don't buy it, says the Chazanish. That's no answer. So therefore, the Chazanish concludes that it must be that there's no Atmana when one Kli goes inside another Kli, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. In Tshuvas Ar Letzion, which we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, and this is quoted by the Dirshu, explains that the Mishnah Brura is not going to have a problem from that halach in Shin Yud Ches, if you'd gimel. Because over there, it's talking about a davar she'eino mosif hevel. A davar she'eino mosif hevel on Shabbos. Because it's talking about warm water, but it's warm water that's not on a fire. And remember the Mishnah Brura Svara, that as long as it's losing its heat, as long as it's in, you know, a downward direction, there's no new heat being pumped in, that's called eino mosif hevel. And the chumra of the mechaber, that even partial hatmana counts as hatmana, is only by a davar mosif hevel. So when the mechaber says in Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Gimel that there's no hatmana issue in submerging a kiton shel mayim into a klisheni full of hot water, That's because it's not fully submerged. You're going to tell me the Mechaber doesn't care about not fully submerged? Yes, he does. By a Dover Sheinah, Mosef Evel, he does. He's Mechalik between fully submerged and not fully submerged when it's Dover Sheinah, Mosef Evel. It's only by Dover Mosef Evel that he doesn't have that he doesn't have such a chiluk that he thinks even when the heat's coming from the bottom, it's called Hatmana. So bottom line is, Mishbura holds that there's such a thing as Hatmana with a Kli B'tol Kli. Well, the Chazon Ish holds there's not any issue with a Kli B'tol Kli. So if I have a Kli, if I have a potato kugel sitting in a small pan, you know, a small kugel that's sitting in, one of those like that you get from the caterer that you can buy from takeout, one of those like, I don't know, 4-inch by 3-inch pans of potato kugel. It's in a kli, it's in an aluminum pan, and I submerge that potato kugel in the chalent. According to the Mishnah Brura, it's a violation of Hatmana. Even on Erev Shabbos. According to the Chazon Ish, no Hatmana. Because Kli B'tol Kli is not going to be a violation of Hatmana. Now, if the flavor of the potato kugel and the chalent are interacting with each other, so then it's like the carrot in the soup. I mean, then it's all, then even the Mishnah Brura is going to have to be mekel. Then it's like, because I'm putting the kugel in the chalent, not for Hatmana, I'm putting the kugel in the chalent so it could have chalent flavor. I'm not putting it in for heat. Now, you're allowed to insulate food with other food. You can take a fully cooked piece of meat and put it into a pot of boiling hot soup, even if the soup is in a Kli Rishon, and you don't view that as Hatmana. And that's the case mentioned in the Gemara, where Rabbi Abba used to put his cooked chicken into a Kli Rishon on Shabbos, and he wasn't worried about Hatmana, because the definition of Hatmana is insulating a pot. It's not insulating food inside of another food, where it just becomes part of the larger food. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan points out, Reish Ches Gimel, that people sometimes submerge their kugel in the chalent, and that l'chora should have been Hatmana b'davar hamosef hevel. So Shevet Alevi points out in Chelek Gimel Sim Mem Zayin that you can't wrap a kugel in foil and submerge it in the chalent according to the Mishnah Brura. The question is, would you view foil as like a separate kli, where you have the kula of the Chazon Ish, or do you say foil is not really a separate pot, where you don't have the kula of the Chazon Ish? So the Shemir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that says that it's mutter, because you don't view wrapping of the kugel in foil as hatmana. Your intention is that the kugel shouldn't get totally dissolved into the pot, and it's considered as if you're heating two separate dishes. And the basis for that is the premise of Chazal only asr hatmana when it's kavana l'hatman, when the whole kavana is to keep the food warm. But if the reason you wrap the potato kugel in foil is not for the warmth of the potato kugel, it's just to make sure that the potato kugel can survive, then that's not a violation of Hatmana. I just want to get to the sous vide, and then we'll take all the questions. In Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak, in Chel Chesimin Yud Zayin, Dayan Weiss writes that if the kugel isn't fully cooked before Shabbos, it's not a violation of Hatmana, because then it's Derech Bishel. You're cooking it, you're not being matmin it. Meaning I take a kugel that's not fully cooked, I wrap it in foil, and I stick it in the chalet. Why am I sticking it in the chalet? Not because I want to be matmin it, because I want to finish off the cooking. So derech bishel is not the same as derech hatmana. So Rav Simcha ben Kohn on page 77, footnote 14, points out that if you're submerging your kugel to absorb some taste from the chalent, then even if it is fully cooked, it's mutter, because that's also derech bishel, meaning that you're doing it not to be matmin it only, but also to absorb the taste of the food. And that's what Nassim Gestetner points out in Lahoras Nassim Chelik Zayin Simin Yud Beis. Says Da'ad Kan Lo Amru De Kli B'Tol Kli Havi Hatmana Ela B'Kli Gomur. That Kli B'Tol Kli is Hatmana only when it's in a real Kli. Aval b'machal ha'atuf b'niyar kesef she'ein ze ele kli ra'ua yitachin to lochashav hefse kli v'avikum uruv b'machal shebekdeira. He suggests that when you have something wrapped in foil, that's not a kli at all, and therefore, not that I said it wrong before, not that you don't have the Chazon Ish's heter, you don't have the Mishnah Brura's chumra. I mean, the definition of hatmana is that you take a food that's in a kli, and then you surround that with something hot. But if you take food and just surround it with foil, it's not in a kli. So then it's just like the carrot in your soup, and then it's totally mutter. Even according to the Mishnah Brura, that's going to be mutter. So where does this leave us with a sous vide? So what's a sous vide, for those who are unfamiliar? The way a sous vide works is you have a bowl, let's say, or a pot, and you fill it up with water. Then you take this wand that attaches to the side of the pot, and it produces a certain amount of heat. And you could set it, let's say, that this is going to cook at the temperature of 122 degrees or something. If you're cooking at 122 degrees, it's going to take a long time to cook something. So you set it to go for 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that. It cooks for a long, long time. Put something in the oven on 350 or 400 degrees, in 2 hours the whole thing is cooked. When you do a sous vide, you set the machine where it's going to keep the water at a constant 122 degrees, as an example, or 130 degrees, whatever the recipe calls for. You set it at a constant, at a particular temperature, whatever it is, whatever the very low temperature is, and after a certain number of hours, the item is going to be cooked. How do you where do you put the item? You take the chicken or the meat. You put it in a Ziploc, in a sealed bag, in a sealed plastic, vacuum-packed bag is even better, and you put that bag, and you submerge that bag in the water, and the sous vide machine keeps the water warm around it. So after 48 hours, it slowly, slowly, slowly breaks down the meat and cooks it, and makes it perfectly evenly cooked. The advantage of sous vide cooking is that the inside of the meat and the outside of the meat are exactly the same. They're cooked exactly the same. No matter how many pieces of meat a caterer is preparing, every single piece will be cooked exactly the same. You're not going to have one person complaining, my meat is burnt, and the other one saying, mine isn't well done enough. Everything's going to be exact. There's tremendous uniformity because it cooks so precisely when it's set at that temperature, and people very much enjoy this this type of cooking. The question is, if I'm going to take a bag with meat in it and I'm going to submerge it in this pot of warm water before Shabbos, and I'm going to let it run into Shabbos, and I'm going to want it to be ready for Shabbos lunch, to be able to have that meat at Shabbos lunch, is that a violation of Hatmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel from Erev Shabbos? Because here you have a constant source of heat. The heat's not waning. It's a constant source of heat that's surrounding the meat entirely, and it's in a bag. So is that a violation of Hatmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel? This is the Shaila. Now, unlike the carrot in the chicken soup, it doesn't absorb any flavor from the water around it. It's in a vacuum-packed bag, so it doesn't get any flavor from the water around it. All of its flavor comes from whatever's in that bag. The spices are all inside that bag, so it doesn't absorb any flavor. So you don't have the heter of the lahoros nasan, that it's absorbing flavor, but it's certainly derech bishl and not derech hatmana. So you would have the heter of the Minchas Yitzchak, meaning if you hold that anything that's derech bishl, that's the way you cook it. Your intention to put it there is not to be matmin it, your intention is to finish off the cooking. So what does Minchas Yitzchak say? That you have a partially cooked kugel, then no problem, you don't have to worry about hatmana when you submerge it in the chal, because you're trying to finish off the cooking. Well, by a sous vide, you're trying to start the cooking, you're trying to do the whole cooking. So that's derech bishl and not derech hatmana. Also, the hatmana that starts on Thursday might not be included in the Yisr. You know, hatmana b'davar HaMosef Hevel is asr on Erev Shabbos, but is it asr also on Thursday? Does it mean sometimes you can have something cooking in your sous vide for 3-4 days? So if you have it cooked for 48 hours, you have it cooking, so you set it up on Thursday afternoon, and it will go straight into till Shabbos. So that might not be included even in the Yisr of hatmana b'davar HaMosef Hevel. Rav Shlomo Miller from Toronto was asked to Shaila, and according to a write-up of a Talmud, he wrote, as far as Hatmana is concerned, Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin Lamed Beis maintains, there's no Hatmana prohibition on placing food in a kli inside the food contained in another kli, such as a plastic bag or aluminum foil containing kugel or kishka inside the pot of chalent before Shabbos. Meaning, which heter is he going with? He's going with Chazon Ish, that you have a kli b'tok kli over here. What kind of kli do you have? Plastic bag, that's your kli? Meaning that the kli in the Gemara was a keto in the Shulchan, it's a keton shalmayim. You have a pitcher of water that you're putting inside of another kli. But Shlomo Miller says, yeah, and a plastic bag is also a kli b'toch kli. So, and even aluminum foil is a kli b'toch kli. And he says the two containers are considered as one, like the Chazon Ish, and he says some posts can maintain that that's only mutter when the inner container is not completely covered by the food in the pot. But Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita's opinion is to be lenient because the inner plastic bag is not covered completely. I mean, sometimes the bag itself sticks out a little bit. Rav Asher Weiss wrote two tshuvas on the topic. In the initial tshuva, he was machmir about suvi, but then ultimately he wrote a tshuva to a caterer from Lawrence, to Uri Katz, And he writes in that tshuva to be makel when the food is meant for the daytime meal. If you're doing the sous vide in order to prepare the food for the daytime meal, he's makel. Because even if you hold like the Rishonim, then it's usser when meant for the daytime meal. Meaning, first of all, his starting point is, remember the Rama quoted Rishonim, Shbalei Alek, and others that say that Hatman is only necessary when you want it for Friday night. If you want it for Shabbos day, there's no Isra Hatman anyway. So you always have that. You have those Rishonim. And even according to those Rishonim that we actually paskin like, that say that you're not allowed to do Hatman for the daytime meal also, that's only because it's possible to have it at nighttime. So it would make sense to do Chita B'Kchalim. But a Suvi is dafka meant to cook very slowly at a very precise temperature for a very long time and for a predetermined period of time. So if you're preparing something with sous vide for Shabbos day, that would mean that there's no chashash chitoy at all. And also says Rav Asher, the Yisra Atman is fundamentally different than the Yisra Shehiya. The Yisra Shehiya is when food is cooking. Yisra Atman is when the food is already cooked. Meaning, there is no hatmana in preparing the food. Some of the Milchas Yitzchak, right? When the food is not yet cooked and you're exposing it to heat, you're cooking it. You can't call cooking hatmana. They're two totally different things. Shehiya is cooking. Shehiya is allowing the cooking to continue. But hatmana? Hatmana is not cooking. Hatmana is when you have food that's already fully cooked. And now you want to maintain the warmth of that food. So it doesn't even enter into the parsha of hatmana, says Rav Asher Weiss. So sous vide is a way to cook the food, not a way to heat the food, and it's not subject to hatmana. So Rav Asher says, but I have a kasha myself. Gemara talks about putting a raw egg in sand. It's cooking it, obviously. So it's raw food, and apparently it's subject to hatmana. He says, no, a raw egg, it's not nicker, whether it's bishul or hatmana, and putting in hot sand is the ikr tsura of hatmana, and over here, sous vide is not the ikr tsura of hatmana, so this is different. Something like that. Then Rav Asher brings poskim more makel based on the assumption that putting a bag, like a rice bag in chalent is mutter, meaning assume like chaznish that there's no atmana when one cleaves inside of another. And they say that it's the same as the sous vide because it's just a bunch of food in the same pot. Rav Asher doesn't think that that's the same at all. Meaning, Rav Asher doesn't think that the chaznishes kula is going to work over here. Because what's chaznishes kula? That if I take a pan, a kitur shel mayim, and I put it into an ambati of mayim, so both the ambati of mayim and the kitur shel mayim are going to be water that I'm going to drink. It's just that one is in the kitur and one is in the ambati. So then you could say, no, the kitur is also in the ambati. I just, for whatever reason, don't want it to mix. I want to take a kugel, I put it in my chalent. Right, so why is my kugel in a kli and not just in the chalet? I really want the kugel to be in that pot. Problem is, if I just put it straight into the pot, the kugel is going to disintegrate and it's going to mix with all the chalet. So I'm keeping it in the kli just to keep it together. But really, really, the kugel's in the bigger pot that's around it. It's not really in its small kli. It's only in the small kli to keep it together to prevent it from disintegrating. But when it comes to the sous vide, the stuff on the outside is not food at all. Meaning, it's cooking in water that you're going to discard. You're going to spill the water out. The sole function of that, it's not the carrot in the soup. When you have carrot in the soup is soup. It's what you're going to eat. It's part of the food. When you have a sous vide in water, the water, you're just going to spill out. Its sole function is only for heating purposes. So that's why Rav Asher didn't like that. He didn't like that kula, but he liked his own kulas. So in the end of the day, he was makel because it's not shayich shemiyachata, even for those, if you want to use it for Shabbos day meal, even according to those Rishonim that say that that it's usher when you're going to use it for a Shabbos day meal, but this is different because over here it's not shayich shemiyachata. Plus, you have the fact that it's already, that it's not yet cooked. So this is bishul, it's not hatmana. So you can't call that which is bishul hatmana. Questions? What do you mean all the chalent pots? Oh, yeah, yeah. Meaning when you put something in a crock pot, yeah. Right, so that should solve the whole crock pot problem. Then I'm just being mevashel, if you're really going to say such a svara. Unless he's going to say, no, that's the ikar derech hatmana. By surrounding it with hot coals, by surrounding it with just like how we answered for the egg in the hot sand. That's the ikar derech hatmana. But over here, this is a weird hatmana, so it wouldn't fit into that category. But I don't know what that svar even means. Yeah.
Why is your Rosh's svar different than Kutra Chaisa? If you're using it for the next day, it's not shy to use it, there's no shivin chata.
I think he's saying that this is like a super Kidra Chaisa. I mean, this is more than Kidra Chaisa, because no one would ever change the temperature on something like this. Even if you wanted it the next day, even if it... At no point would one ever change the temperature on a sous vide. Meaning, let's say the Kidra Chaisa you wanted to have at 6 a.m. Right? So then, maybe Shevi Chad or whatever. This is better than that. No one ever changes... I texted a friend of mine this morning who's very into his cooking and his sous vide and whatever. He says the whole sous vide Hatmana Shaila is a ridiculous Shaila, because no one would just take the food out of the sous vide and eat it. You have to take your blowtorch and sear it first, because otherwise it's not... You know, so if you're like, you know, super spitz, so then you wouldn't... But I said, would anyone ever change that... Is there ever a reason to change the temperature on the sous vide? He said, only if you're changing the food. I mean, if you take out the meat and you're putting in chicken, so then you change the temperature on the sous vide. But otherwise, of course, you keep it the a consistent temperature. So the only reason you'll have a recipe ever to change the temperature on something, like you'll have a recipe that will say, heat up the oven to 450, you know, cook the food on 450 for 20 minutes, and then change it to 300 and cook it for an hour. He says, what are they trying to do with that? Because on the 450, it wants it to be crisp on the outside, and then on 300, it's going to cook nicely on the inside, right? It's trying to make the outside different from the inside. The whole kunst of sous vide is that it's perfectly even, is that there's no difference whatsoever between the outside and the inside. So no one would ever change the temperature on a sous vide. I think that's Rav Asher's
side. Would it depend, in terms of Shehiyah, at what point you put the food in? Doesn't the sous vide take at least, you know, 24 hours, so you put it in before Shabbos?
So sous vide for Shehiyah is probably Motzukas of Kidra Chaisa, right? That you probably have for the sous vide. Meaning, but you have even better. So now I just want to quickly mention that, even though we didn't get a chance to go through, appliance by appliance, the Ramah at the end of Sifches just has an important line that, you know, if you're learning Bishul, you got to see that Ramah, that there's a mitzvah to be matmin in a permissible way in order to eat hot food on Shabbos and fulfill the mitzvah of onan kavod Shabbos. And Mishnah Brura writes that if the hot food harms you or causes you pain, then you don't need to eat it. And then the Ramah quotes the Baal HaMor and the Ran that someone who doesn't eat hot food on Shabbos, you have to suspect that maybe he's an apikoros, because the Apikorsim held that you're not allowed to leave a fire on throughout Shabbos, because those Sevarimish Bechomash Vosechim, they interpreted literally to mean that there can't be any heat source running on Shabbos. So Mishabur at the end of Sukkot Mem Tes writes that there's a special mitzvah to prepare, cook, and be matan food in order to be ma'anik Shabbos, to make Shabbos as enjoyable as possible. And someone who does that will merit to see the end of days with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen. Okay. Good Shabbos, everybody. Huh?